to do. So let's start here with me and you. Gonna take a little time. Let's see what we can find. Oh, come on, walk with me, talk with me, tell me your stories. I'll do my best to understand you. Oh, won't you walk with me, talk with me, tell me your stories.
New paradigms for a new world. I'm Richard Dugan. Welcome to Tell Me Your Story, and it's great to be with you. This is an absolutely fantastic looking day. If you live on the Central Coast, you can't look out the window or go outside and conclude anything less. It is absolutely spectacular weather. Blue skies, few clouds here and there, low 60s, nice breeze in the air, the sun is shining, the birds are singing, we're on the air. That's all we need. I think that's the way that goes. But it's nice to have you with us here every Saturday from 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific time. We're streaming live on the internet at richarddugan.com. That's richarddugan.com. And also archiving all of our programs at richarddugan.com radio show page. And our program today is no different. We'll be doing the same thing, and we'll be telling you about our guest in just a moment. I just want to remind you that we have some incredible guests coming up. I had the extraordinary opportunity just a few days ago of interviewing another one of the members of what we'll call them the Secret Club. That's several people who were involved in the making of the DVD that was based on the book and so forth. And I had the opportunity of talking with Mike Dooley. And now we're going to have him on in April. I know that's a long way off, but something to look forward to. Will you be able to listen to the interview ahead of time? No. It won't be available until that day, but we're going to have him on two Saturdays in a row next April, and I believe the dates are the 3rd and the 10th. Those two Saturdays, the first and second Saturdays of the month, we're going to have Mike Dooley on the program. He has written a book entitled Infinite Possibilities, as well as Notes from the Universe. Very interested in talking to him about that as well. So just a little heads up on that. We'll also have Terry Cole Whitaker coming on the program in March, and we are just jam-packed with a wide variety of different folks. We'll be talking with a gentleman we spoke with not too long ago regarding Anamkara. Anamkara, you ask? What is that? Well, join us on the 31st of January as we discuss that. It's not very often that I take time out to tell you about the schedule upcoming, because you can find it online at richarddugan.com. Just go to the interviews, or the schedules page, the schedule of shows, and you'll see who's coming up. I only have the schedule up through January 31st at present, but I'll be adding all of those other interviews in February, March, and April as the days go on. So keep checking, keep looking, keep listening, and stay tuned to this station, and keep listening live on the internet. Today's program is devoted to vision or visioning, and we're going to be talking about what that's all about with our guest. Her name is Dorothy Sokovia, and we want to thank you very much for joining us here on the program and for coming all the way down from, we like to refer to it as slow, but San Luis Obispo to join us.
Yes, thank you. You're welcome. It's fabulous to be here.
Now, when we have folks on the program, they give us a little bit of their backstory as to how they got to where they are. And so you basically started, you know, you worked in a regular job doing regular stuff, and yet you were also delving into the areas in which you're now sort of full-time into, right?
Right. I have always been into the creative arts as a writer, as a songwriter. And when I got trained into what's called creative journaling, expressive arts training, and graduated, I went on and became a visioning coach. And what that meant to me was that I had a way of making a collage of a dream that I wanted for my life, any dream. And I could put pictures together in this fun, creative way, hang it up on my mirror, and voila, things would start manifesting for me. It never happened the way I thought. It never does. Thank goodness. And so that's how I landed here.
So Could we use other names for that collage? And some people call them dream boards.
Yes, dream boards, wish maps, treasure maps. Visioning is a particular method coined by Lucia Capocchioni, the one who developed this particular method.
Mm-hmm.
And it has, she calls it 10 Steps to Creating the Life, to Designing the Life of Your Dreams, is her book, Visioning. And as a designer, a toy designer, as an artist, she developed this method based on her own experience with art and bringing things into manifestation.
Okay. And you've been doing this visioning for how long?
Officially since I started the training in 2003. So what are we, 2009? So
six years. Okay.
But in looking at the book and the style and going through the training, I think I've always done it. It's making the pictures in your mind come true and believing what you want to happen more than the quote-unquote reality of where you're sitting now.
Okay. And we're going to talk more about that reality and how to change that reality as we continue talking about visioning, which is the proper term. As far as your training is concerned.
Yes.
Okay. And we'll talk more with Dorothy Sokovia here on the program, which is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. So we want you to stay with us, because if you've got some dreams, maybe Dorothy can help you to bring those about. We'll talk more about that when we return.
Are you interested in assisting those affected by disasters both here at home and across the country, like the recent hurricanes along the Gulf Coast? The American Red Cross Santa Barbara County Chapter is offering free disaster training courses in Santa Barbara. Pre-registration is required, so sign up now. For more information, call 687-1331, 687-1331, or visit on the web at www.sbredcross.org.
Have you lost direction in life? Do you constantly worry or give to others but deny your own heart? Hi, I'm Candy Hoff, healing practitioner and angel intuitive counselor. I'll inspire and help you find your inner strength to regain clarity and balance in your life. Book your transformational session in downtown Santa Barbara by phoning 831-277-3716 or visit my website, angelhealinghouse.com.
You have a message that others can benefit from. A meditation to share. A talk to give that you want heard by more than just those present. A workshop, seminar, presentation with speakers whose information, insight, and inspiration can help others to break through to their highest potential and purpose. Making a quality recording is the first step to making it available, and fast forward is the right direction. They'll bring the recording studio to you. Your message is important. It needs to be recorded by professionals who share your passion and want to provide quality recording to those who want and need to hear it. Call 805-708-9804 to take that first step. 805-708-9804. Call Fast Forward for all your recording needs on location and in studio. 805-708-9804.
Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host, and this is a program that comes your way every Saturday from 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific Time. We stream live on the internet at richarddugan.com. I'll be honest with you, I don't know how you could miss the Listen Live link. It's probably the largest image on the top of the page. Now, I might miss it if I didn't know where it was. But there you go, and we encourage you to tune in and listen in as we continue talking with Dorothy Sokovia about visioning, and we are going to get a little bit more in depth into the process as you have learned it. And of course, you also have your own book that you're working on now. And is this also about it, or is this something other than about visioning?
It's how I use the technique of visioning as well as creative journaling, which is using your non-dominant hand to let your heart speak for itself when you're writing and doing journaling. And I take how I use these methods for a particular incident that I had, which was a car accident. And then, so it's in three parts. It's the story with my own images and pictures of how I de-stressed from the accident and made the metaphor to make it be a positive experience. Then the second part is how to do all of the artwork that I teach. It's like a workshop. And then the third section is, as a musician and a songwriter, I happen to have 5 songs and 1 short story about cars.
Mm-hmm.
So I have an original music CD that also goes with the book, and mm-hmm. and I'll teach how to do songwriting.
Oh, okay. Well, I can tell you this much. If part of the technique is to learn to write with your non-dominant hand, in my case, the left hand, neither I nor anyone else will be able to read it.
That's the exciting part, is you get to learn how to read what your heart is trying to tell you.
Oh, okay.
And it comes with practice.
I was going to say. Now, have you known people who will do this and begin to become maybe more ambidextrous in their normal lives? Because I find that it initially is going to be very hard for a lot of people.
Exactly. People. And it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be uncomfortable. It's supposed to be not easy, because you're trying a brand new thing that you haven't done before. So mm-hmm. we have to give ourselves the space and time to practice and to be lousy at something. The interesting thing is once you go into the process of the creative journaling non-dominant hand technique, as you access the different parts of ourselves that we don't own, for instance, my inner accountant person would be using the non-dominant hand. And if I wanted also to access the inner mechanic, for instance, those are disowned personalities of mine. So mm-hmm. I use the non-dominant hand to express them in writing. Both of those personalities would distinctly write different from each other. Mm-hmm. It's very yeah. interesting. Once you get the hang of it, you could tell who's coming through, what aspect of ourselves wants to talk by the way the language is, by the spelling of the language, you know, of the words. It's very interesting.
Very much so. First of all, if my inner mechanic basically has been given a cease and desist order, okay? But you phrase this, it sounds almost like channeling.
It is. It's sort of, well, what you're doing is you're letting a different part of ourselves speak. For instance, and we do this all the time. Mm-hmm. It does sound a little bit like multiple personalities.
Yeah, I was going to say a little bit of schizophrenia there.
Aren't we all? Hooray, hooray for being Geminis here. As a Gemini, I come with an
sit
extra
down and
set
up
of
over
skills.
There.
Exactly. Are you talking to me?
No.
I forgot your question.
Oh, basically, we were talking about this as sort of it's kind of like channeling those parts of ourselves that we don't normally or ever maybe have never accessed before. But again, it's not schizophrenic. It's just that when we, for example, here we are in an interview, and so our personalities are such that, okay, we're talking, we're conversing here. But we get into a different setting. Let's say you're teaching visioning, or you're at home cooking, or you're driving, or you're up on stage singing. Each of those, you take on a different persona, right?
Exactly. And you could tell when you're over the top with one of your personas who's just ruling you mm-hmm. instead of you being the director of the play, so to speak, and deciding which persona is going to come out. For instance, if you go on vacation and you take your laptop, your cell phone, and you're checking your email messages from work, then obviously your work person persona is the one driving you, and right. you're not going to be able to relax on that vacation. And the vice versa could be true. Mm-hmm. You could show up to your job, but you're always on vacation at the job. So, and you aren't productive. You don't get your things done. Your boss is always mad at you. So it's just being able to step back, be in the present moment, feel your feelings and to know which part of your personality or which part of you is going to do that job that is coming up in that moment.
Okay. As a person begins this process of creative journaling, again, with the non-dominant hand,
mm-hmm.
You say that they really do need to practice a little bit with the non-dominant hand as much as possible before maybe they start actually doing the writing so that, yes, they can actually go back and read it, decipher it. Because I would think that that's a rather important aspect of the journaling, not just the writing, but being able to go back after the fact and say, okay, this is what was going on at that time. And wow, you know, kind of getting new insights. You know how people will read a book over and over again and they get something new out of each time.
Yes, because that different aspect of our personalities, the first thing that accesses with the non-dominant hand speaking through the heart is the inner child. So that's the part of us that really is connected to joy and self-expression and creativity. And it's going to tell us directly what it wants us to do if we ask it the questions. Now, if we've stuffed down our feelings, which is what the inner child is, and it lives and expresses in the body as intuition and creativity, when you first just practice with your non-dominant hand to write your name, you'll be able to read your own writing.
Mm, okay.
And so it'll just be like looking at a child's writing at first.
Okay.
Is all it'll be. And as you get technically better, then the writing will, you know, it'll be easier to do, but the writing will always still look like a child because that's what is speaking to us.
I had an experience in a program, I'm going to say maybe 15 years ago, where we were all to write a letter, or I forget what the exact document was, but in longhand. And I printed it, you know, because I felt that if I wrote it in cursive, that whoever got the letter or got the document wouldn't be able to read it. And what was real interesting about the experience was not so much what I had written or what I had said, but that the person came back to me after the fact and they weren't trying to be critical, but they made their observation about my handwriting, you know.
Exactly. That's why when you do creative journaling, the first step is privacy, safety. You don't share it with anybody. You tell your family, you know, this is my journal. It's off limits. I'm going to keep it locked up here in this particular drawer.
High explosives will go off if you touch it.
Exactly. Right. Put a big, you
electric
know, X
shock.
Sign
yes.
on it. All these things, because definitely you have to be safe, because
yeah.
it's just like exposing a brand new baby over to the cold elements.
Yeah.
You won't do that. And oftentimes that's just our expression of our own, you know, that monkey mind critical voice, that the inner editor that's always trying to stomp down our joy.
I've never heard the phrase monkey mind before.
Monkey mind.
I like
who
that.
Who uses monkey mind? I think Natalie Goldberg, who is a writer, and I was reading it, I think Maria Nemeth, in her book, The Energy of Money,
mm-hmm.
she calls it monkey mind.
I love that. And, of course, part of that is throwing the poop around.
Exactly.
And that's just not a good thing.
Well, the critic traditionally does is it's just trying to keep us safe. And
yeah.
it keeps us safe in our old beliefs and our mm-hmm. old habits, even if they don't work anymore.
Yeah.
Because it's familiar. And to go out into the unknown and to try something risky, to be, you know, 48 and finally getting an amplifier for my electric guitar.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my critic is over there going, you can't pay for that. What are you going to do with it for? You don't play gigs anymore. You don't do this anymore.
Mm-hmm.
We need a couch for our living room, not an amplifier. And so it turns out that someone gave me an amplifier, and instead of a couch in my living room, I have an amplifier in my electric guitar. And how delightful it is for me every morning with my tea to be able to pick up the guitar and be bad loud.
Uh-huh.
And that's just so joyful to me. So that's expressing my creative self. And if I listen to the editor or the monkey mind part of myself, I would, you know, only be able to do it at a certain time, and I'd have to put the equipment away all the time, you know.
Yeah.
I'd have to go out and make money with it, you know, all these type of things, instead of just good old fashioned, I always wanted to be a rock and roller. And now I am.
And now you are.
And now I am. Even in my own living room.
Well, you know, we seem to be finding more and more people who are in their 40s and 50s and beyond are just now getting in touch with their life's purpose, what they really, truly wanted to do from their teens and 20s, but they never had the courage. They were never encouraged. They didn't feel they had the opportunities. They're now getting out there and exploring them. And then, of course, we now even have the aging rockers, the bands that have been around for 30 and 40 years. When I was a kid, these bands were teens and early 20s. And now they're in their 50s and 60s, and they're still making great music.
Sure.
It's amazing.
Yeah, creativity has no limits.
Yeah.
And I think it's more exciting towards when we're older, for me especially, because I am so unwilling to listen to the editor now.
Yeah.
I'm so unwilling to waste my time, you know, the way I used to in my 20s and 30s. And one of my friends, Bobby Tyler, she started her first book, I think, when she was 71 years old. She's 75. She just got published. And
wow.
She's up in Cambria, and
yeah,
she's having her book signing. So, you know, she is a big role model for me.
Well, and of course, there's always that line that will always come up to folks in their 60s and the 70s who think, no, I can't do it. Well, you know, Grandma Moses didn't start painting until she was 84. You know, that kind of stuff. And what's interesting, I remember a conversation I had with my brother, and we were just chatting away, and I shared with him something about, I got this aha moment about thus and such, and his comment to me was, well, geez, you're, and at the time I was, I think I was 35. He says, my God, you're 35. You're just now getting that? And I said, oh, wait a minute. It's not when you get it, but that you get it. Whatever that is, that aha. Oh, yeah, okay, I can do that. You know, that'll work. I'm not being stopped by anybody but me. Again, it's again, not when, but that you get it.
Exactly. And I think each aha moment, we actually keep going deeper into what we want to do. And then we become, you know, we sort of just blossom for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Like for me, so much I thought that a career, you know, had to be exactly this way, that was my life's purpose and all of these things. And it's like, oh, no, those are just jobs.
Yeah.
You know, writing my book, I'm writing it for myself, and I'm hoping so many people will enjoy it. And,
right.
But I'm doing it for myself, and it has to be fun for me first.
Yeah.
I have to be the one delighted.
Do you ever find yourself, as you're writing the book, again, the monkey mind comes in and you start questioning whether or not you should reveal that. Gee, other people are going to read this, so maybe I should write it in a certain way so that they, rather than being 100% true to yourself and saying, you know what, maybe I won't publish this. I'm just going to make sure that writing this, the truth comes out. And then if later I decide to publish it, that's fine. But I'm not going to be of the mind that others are going to read this because I'm starting to censor it. I'm starting to edit it even as I write it. Do you run into that?
Well, what I do is I actually stop writing if I'm doing that. And I do the process of talking back to the inner critical voice by either, you know, just imagining, you know, what the critical person looks like. To me, it's just this two-headed, ridiculous balloon cartoon thing. And I just send it packing. Or it's just time to stop for the day and say, thank you very much, critic. I'll bring you out later when it's time for editing. It's not time for editing now. And then maybe I need to go eat. Maybe I need to go for a walk, because that's a sign that the creativity part is starting to squish. And I just completely stop.
Yeah.
That's otherwise, you have a good point. You will start editing for other people. And there goes the whole purpose of the.
Yeah.
The book.
Yeah.
You lose your voice.
If you've just joined us, my guest is Dorothy Segovia, and we're talking about visioning. We're talking about creative journaling, which is a little different than just your normal run-of-the-mill everyday journaling in an empty, in a a blank book page, or if you just grab a bunch of sheets of paper and just start typing, or even on the computer. And where I want to get in, I want to ask you about that in just a moment, but I want to let our listeners know this is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host, and you can listen to this program live streaming on the internet at richarddugan.com, and also listen to the archived program following this broadcast. Go to richarddugan.com radio shows, and it'll be at the top of the list. Dorothy Segovia will be the name. Click on the play, and away you go. I want to get your perspective on this. The difference, if there even is one, now between journaling, and we're just talking normal, everyday journaling, longhand versus typing on a typewriter. Oh, yes, I remember the typewriter of days gone by. Or the computer. Is, in your perspective, from your position in terms of visioning and so forth, is there a difference between those three, or however many other forms, is on a stone tablet for whatever you want to do?
Well, I think that the most primitive method, which is longhand, is the best one because you're attached bodily to it. You're making, you know, you have the pen in your hand and you're just writing completely on the paper. When you tend to go to a machine, you've become one step removed. And then if you go onto a computer, because of the ability to edit immediately, to make corrections, these kind of things, to erase what you did and start over, those type of things, you go past, you start heading towards the left brain.
Okay. Well, what about if, let's say you were able to record, and because there's software now to do this, where you record and it just types it for you. What if you were to do something like that? Is that still, there's still the disconnect as opposed to longhand?
I'm a writer, so I'm always going to be more comfortable with the longhand. Mm-hmm. If you're not journaling and you like the computer better, it's always better to do it on the computer than not to do the journaling at all.
Right.
If you're going to use the voice recorder, it's better to do that. I have a voice recorder in the car for songs, whereas I'm driving down the road, here comes a song idea, I could just dump in a melody and a few lyrics, and then, you know, it's already on the digital recorder. I don't have to think about it.
Right.
So the main point is, just to journal, to let your thoughts out and to keep on, in touch with your emotions. And then, but then I certainly prefer the longhand method.
Yeah.
Try both.
I know that there are many people, young and old alike, who are really tuned into, I don't want to say the old ways of doing things, but the more connected ways of doing things. I met a 16 and 17-year-old who put on a play in Ventura, Fahrenheit 451, and this was at the Epic Theater a couple of weeks ago. And their attitude towards texting alone was just, it blew me away that these young people didn't want to have anything to do with it. They just, email was one thing, but texting, no. The social networks, they might be social, but you don't learn any social or communication or relationship skills. And you certainly don't learn spelling or syntax or any of that. And it seems as though there's a certain part of our society that doesn't care. They're going to do it anyway. But there are still others who, they don't want to lose that. And so what you're teaching is helping them to stay connected in that respect.
Well, it's being connected to our body. It's being connected to our feelings and our emotions, which come through the body. Our left brain, which is the one that writes with our regular hand that we learned in school, that type of thing is linear thinking. It has to do with reasoning, goal-oriented. It's math. It wants to get things done.
Mm-hmm.
And that is fabulous. We need that to happen. But the right brain, which is what I like to connect people with, that is spontaneous. It's intuitive. It's letting our feelings come through. It's having that feeling that, you know, I don't really feel like I'm going to park here. I'm going to just park around the corner. I know it's kind of weird. I'm just going to park, you know, I just feel better to do that. It's trusting those deep feelings and emotions, and that is what's going to lead us to the wealth of joy that we have in ourselves if only we would stop the linear, we must get something done. Mm. No, we can't just sit at the park and stare at the beautiful way the trees are moving because we have to be productive for this half hour.
Yeah, and I have to say that with what seems like just about any time off that I have, which isn't a lot, but then again, I don't see this as a job, whether it's doing the radio show or doing the radio station or what have you. I do have a great love for what I do. I just enjoy it. I don't know why, I just do. And there are times when I take time off and I just want to sit out somewhere and just, you know, kind of gaze up at the stars and that kind of stuff. And for a short time, very comfortable. But as time marches on and I become more conscious of it, I'm thinking, you know, I need to be doing something. I should go clean up the studio, or I need to go pile up the firewood, you know, in a neater pile, or I need to do this or that or the other thing. You know, I mean, in other words, the mind starts coming up with a list, to-do list.
Exactly. That's like the pusher part of our personality, which we all need in order to get to work and to get things done. But it has tended to take over because our work ethic here in our society is that we have to work hard and overcome and shove our way through these things in order to become successful. When really it's having the vibrational alignment of feeling our way to our joy. That is, if I want to complete my book, instead of beating myself up over all the times when I haven't been writing on it, is simply say, wow, it's sure going to feel good when this phase of the book is done and it's off to the editor. And then I'm so excited that at the next phase, it's going to be online. And just taking a few minutes every day to project ahead what I want and how good it's going to feel to be there. And then naturally, I'll be passionate and be pulled through to that vision holding.
I have to say that when I was a kid growing up and I would build models, and I must have built a couple thousand of them, and I would hang them from the ceiling. And in my bedroom, there was a two-bulb outlet in the center of the room with one of those glass light diffusers. And I would have these little eye bolts screwed into the plaster all over the room, so that this light really didn't do much good when you had it on, unless it was a 100-watt bulb or something. So I'd have lamps. And when I was building these models, it's like there were some that I was painstaking with. But there were others, I just wanted to finish them. I wanted to see the finished thing. I'm wondering how we, again, that's another part of the monkey mind too, that says, okay, let's get this done. I'm into the creative thing here. Let's finish it. Let's, you know, you've been working on it for 10 minutes. Let's finish it, you know. And it's a 300-page novel. Let's finish it, you know. And it doesn't happen that way. What are some of the best? Is, again, the same best suggestion, stop.
We just say thank you. You know, thank you, monkey mind. We're going to bring you in later. Or just noticing it and really just letting it zoom by. Mm-hmm. You know, just like if you thought some weird thing, oh, I have to take my yellow shirt out of the car and take it to the dry cleaners, you would just let that thought go by and know that you would take care of it later. It's the same thing. Sometimes people get all freaked out on their thoughts, and now they have to control their thoughts, which, of course, makes you just more insane. So the thing is just to keep bringing ourselves back to our center through our breathing, you know, breathe out, kind of smile, notice, huh, am I thinking more right now? Is it time to stop? You know, do I need to take a bathroom break? Do I need to eat? Do I need to do this? You know, and just checking back in.
Yeah. Well, it's it can become frustrating if one lets it happen. One of my thoughts was, as far as the monkey mind, since I tend to like that phrase, that's very interesting, is basically let your internal answering machine answer the monkey mind, and let the monkey mind leave a message at the tone, and we'll call you back when we next get an opportunity.
Exactly. My monkey mind would always fire off when I was driving. Last year, I was going about a half an hour away to go to these yoga classes to this particular teacher. And that's when inevitably my monkey mind would start in, you could find a cheaper yoga class closer, blah, 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 blah. And it would just be, you have to be in the trunk until I'll let you back out when yoga is done. But you're in the trunk for now, you know. And then almost every day you have to come up with this new image, because it's just this ongoing thing. Yeah. You know, it's that Inspector Clouseau of the Pink Panther. And Kato, the monkey mind is Kato,
right,
the one who's always trying to surprise you and keep us on our toes. Are we really present? Are we present?
But we never become critical of that, because that is a part of us too.
Yes.
It's important.
We want it.
Yeah.
We want it because it's keeping us on our toes. It's keeping us sharp. Yeah. And it wants our, it's looking out for us in the only way it knows how. It's trying to take care of us by saying, you know, it tends to be disaster thinking is what the monkey mind is. But it is trying to keep us safe in its own cute little stupid way. It just wants us to be safe.
Yeah.
So if we just bring in the other parents, you know, in the inner family dynamic that Lucia teaches, if we bring in the protective parent, which doesn't let the monkey mind all the way to the inner child, if we bring in the nurturing parent, that we're taking care of ourselves by good walks, we take our snuggly tea breaks, and we have the spiritual parent all there in a team, mm-hmm, with that voice, then now we're all working together.
Right.
And but so often happens, like you said, we're only paying attention to the monkey mind, and then, you know, off it goes. When really I name three other parents,
right,
in cahoots with the inner child, which is our creative self and our intuition, and they're all kind of a team.
Right. Give me a little more of a background on Dorothy. From what belief system, if you will, religious or spiritual, do you come from?
I was raised Catholic, and that is the church that, when I think of going to church on Sunday, I would go back to St. Timothy's Catholic Church in Morro Bay with Father Ed, who is fabulous. And I love being Catholic because it has that element of mystery.
Yeah.
And it has the rituals there. And my rituals are certainly the pen and paper, but also the mystery there. Because, mm-hmm, even though I'm making this fabulous visioning collage and I think it's going to be like this, it never is.
Yeah.
Just as you pointed out,
yeah,
when do things happen the way that we think? And good thing not, because I've been given so much more and have so many more wonderful things happen to me than I could have ever imagined. Music certainly being one of them. So I'm happy for that background of this mystery. And then I started writing poetry in high school. And then in my late 20s, I started picking up a guitar. When I was 32, I was working as a sales rep in Los Angeles County. And I wrote a song. I wrote my second song and said, "That's it. I'm moving to Morro Bay to become the next Joan Baez." And then I actually moved. It took me like 6 months to do it, but I moved to Morro Bay to become the next Joan Baez.
That's still pretty quick.
Well, you know, it was a thrilling thing to do. And when I get into situations where I think, oh, I'm in all this chaos, what am I doing, you know, blah, 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 trying to figure my way out of something, I just remember that daring I had, you know, just that feeling of just launching myself with this complete ridiculous trust.
Mm-hmm.
And just, it took me 10 years, but I did play for 4 hours all most original songs, you know, mm-hmm, on stage in San Luis. And then it was time to go on and try the other creative stuff. So that's my background. I just, when I feel something, whether it could be even, wow, this place doesn't work anymore, and then letting go of that, mm-hmm, without knowing what I'm going to.
Yeah.
It's this trusting this mystery that I'm going to be taken care of. My mom had an incredible faith. My grandmother's this incredible faith of just being grounded in this love and that we are cared for.
So you haven't left that tradition as of yet. I mean, that's still something that is still a part of you, or are you now going off on a new journey in not necessarily a different direction, mind you, but it's not necessarily exclusively the Catholic path.
Exactly. I've gone, the latest church I went to when I was up in Capitola, Santa Cruz County, was the Inner Light Ministries, that positive, non-denominational, positive, yes, I can, I am safe, I am blessed, I am a blessing, other people are a blessing too,
mm-hmm,
belief system. I like going back to the Catholic faith simply because that's where I came from.
Mm-hmm.
And as I get older, I like heading back home.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to find another Inner Light Ministries.
Right.
And, you know, that's where it is. It's up in Santa Cruz. And if I want to go up there,
yeah,
I need to be up in Santa Cruz to go there. So, and I am familiar with the church I just spoke to about, mm-hmm, on the in Morro Bay. So for me, I have dabbled around enough, and I've gone to so many different churches enough mm-hmm. that I remember just what it felt like to be in Catholic Church when I was younger. And the music, the words, I just like that mystery yeah. feeling. And for me, it works. And once I let go of all the other political kind of things about the church and, yeah. you know, blah, blah, blah. Once I let that go, which is the left brain, it yeah. just feels better for me to just head back home to where I started.
Yeah.
You know.
Sort of get regrounded. Mm-hmm. In a manner of speaking.
Mm-hmm. And like I said, it's that mystery. Mm-hmm. It's the total mystery, which yeah. is what I really like about it.
The ritual, the ceremony, I absolutely feel the same way in that respect. It's something that has always been and I think always will be near and dear to my heart because that's my background as well. I had the distinct privilege of being able to experience for about 10 years the Eastern Rite of the Catholic Church, which is considered Orthodox, but it is not Orthodox. It's still under the see of the Pope, if you will. And a lot of people don't quite understand that, but nonetheless, it is even more ritual based. You can go to a Mass on a Sunday in 1910, and go to a Mass in 2047, and it's going to be the same. Because they adhere to that liturgy, the particular one that they happen to follow. So that to me is fascinating that they hold on to the roots as well, in spite of the fact that the individual people in that church, they progress, they move forward. They're using iPods and and iPhones and all those different things.
Exactly, they're not Amish. Well, what's pretty interesting is what I found for me is that the more wild I go into my own creative ideas, and as far as certainly this book, putting together my idea about it, and the next few things I have creatively that I see happening for my future, the more that I do like structure and the more I want this sort of a discipline because it just gives me some sort of a framework for which my right brain can just color outside the lines because yeah. my left brain is sure happy that I'm going to go do the same thing in church that I did last week, you know, and only 1 hour is going to be different and that's because of the talk or the
yeah.
people who are going to be there, you know, what outfits the people wore or where I'm yeah. going to sit.
But the core is always the same.
Exactly.
And that serves a part of you.
Exactly. Exactly. Because it gives our left brain something to do. You mm-hmm. know, have you ever watched that dog whisperer guy?
Oh, yeah.
And he always is, you know, one big thing for the dogs is that they need to be used. Mm-hmm. They need to be worked. And so sometimes they have to put that little backpack on to carry the water.
Right.
And they won't be, you know, pulling on the leash or, you know, going to chase down the other dog because
oh,
that
no,
part
I
of
seen,
them is being used.
I haven't seen that technique. I need to use that with my dog.
Yeah. You have to go check out Caesar. But so it just gives that left brain, you know, a little something to do. I like yeah. my left brain to give me some lists. If yeah. it's like starting to go off, I'm like, okay, what are you afraid of? Why don't you write down a list mm-hmm. under each category of what you think needs to happen? Thank you very much. You know, I don't necessarily follow it to the letter, but it just soothes that part of me that needs that structure.
Well, and as in a lot of areas, including radio, there is structure. And in that vein, we're going to take a break and hear a word from some of our fine advertisers and supporters of this program. And if you'd like to be a part of what we're doing here, get involved in the work, certainly go to the website. There is an address. There's an email address as well. And if you would like to do that, certainly we would encourage you to do so and be grateful for your involvement in Tell Me Your Story. New paradigms for a new world, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. Stay tuned. More dreams coming up.
Remember the stories your family used to tell?
Till I got married, 1913, when my father and my uncle came from Italy.
When was the last time you listened to the songs of your youth?
Well, close. Very swinging sound here in the Bilhart Underground. That's Wild Things.
Want to hear those voices and music again? Fast Forward can help. Fast Forward Audio Communications can transfer your records and tapes to CD so you can hear them again. For the first time.
Okay, stand by. They want to get you a man's load right now until the go, no go. Stand by.
You're listening to a live transmission of the voice of astronaut Walter Chirac.
Those memories are priceless and are great to hand down to the next generation. Keep those memories alive. Call 805-708-9804.
That's the freshest thing that I ever heard.
Fast forward. It's the right direction for preserving your family memories. Just call 805-708-9804.
Are addictions ruining your life? Have you lost hope and long to discover help for a brighter tomorrow? Hi, I'm Candy Hoff, healing practitioner and angel intuitive counselor. I'll inspire and help you find your inner strength to regain clarity and balance in your life. Book your transformational session in downtown Santa Barbara by phoning 831-277-3716 or visit my website, angelhealinghouse.com.
Plans without execution are only dreams. At Monarch Wealth Strategies, we follow a disciplined approach to wealth management. It is our pleasure to be of service to you. Come experience the integrity, competence, and royal service provided by Monarch Wealth Strategies, a financial services firm founded by myself, Vanessa Patterson, and Aaron Clark. We are at 1501 State Street, a building shared with Community West Bank. Execute your plans today. Contact us at 564-0800. That's 564-0800 or monarchwealthstrategies.com.
Empties out as you go. Oh, walk with me, talk with me, tell me your stories. I'll do my very best to understand you, your flesh and blood.
Tell me your story, new paradigms for a new world. Dorothy Sokovia is our guest here in studio talking about visioning, and we're kind of talking about our families and friends and rituals and tradition and things that sort of warm our hearts a little bit, warm our souls, as it were, and just kind of keep us on track, but then also looking at how we can be more creative, how we can be in touch with that, as you say, that inner child, the creative part of who we are, even if you want to call it the still small voice, sort of start to fulfill your purpose in life, why you're here, what you're doing here, the proverbial, what do you want to be when you grow up, you know? And some of us are still asking that question at 30, 40, 50, 60 years of age and older, you know, what do I want to be when I grow up? And hopefully none of us actually ever really grow up, you know, which is okay, but we can still do those things. You know, we stay in that childlike frame of mind.
Exactly.
And we can have so much fun with it.
Because that's what the joy is, and that's where the joy comes from. For instance, I really was drawn to this method of creative journaling and visioning because, you know, we're going after the old beliefs and the old ways of thinking with crayons, you know, with a box of crayons, some glue, and scissors. It doesn't get better than that for me. But before I found this method, I was really into affirmations, mm-hmm. you know, repeating, I am good at math, I am good at math, I am good at math. But if I didn't believe it in myself, yeah. It was never going to happen. So visioning does for me is it takes something that I want. And I usually vision more of feelings of things, like I am comfortable receiving my good. I feel excellent as an author. You know, I do feelings of things, visions, more than this is what my house is going to look like. And so that helps me ground and recenter, you mm-hmm. know, as long as that collage is in front of me.
Right,
I can
right.
make all sizes.
And you put it in a very obvious place so that you obviously see it. And so it continues to remind you of what it is that you want.
Exactly.
Goal.
And it is a feeling that you're going for. It's mm-hmm. so when you actually make the collage before you glue down in the process of visioning that I'm trained in, you get a chance for that inner critic to come out and have its say mm-hmm. about how rotten your collage is and what a waste of time it is and blah, blah, blah. But that because then you're going to get a chance to learn how to answer back with the non-dominant mm-hmm. hand and let that inner brat out and just tell it off. And then you glue down your heart's desire. But then, as you pointed out before, is that once you you find out what the images mean and you're getting the answers from them, you do have to take action on them. Mm. You do have to do what our own heart is saying.
Yeah.
We have to take the action steps. Otherwise, it doesn't work.
Well, and you have actually wasted your time in that, in a manner of speaking. If you don't take the steps, then why bother at all?
Exactly.
So take the steps.
Exactly. The first thing is to make the collage. And
yes,
you can make them any size. Like when I work sometimes for the my money, I go work in different offices as a temp, and I go work for, you know, 1 month to 6 months or whatever. But I always take my index size collages, mm-hmm, with me, so I could just take one at my desk, mm-hmm, and all day long it reminds me that, you know, I am not, you know, this person who was just, you know, doing this clerical kind of stuff. It just gives me that larger perspective and keeps my own vision in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
And it helps ground me into what my purpose is, which is freedom, growth, yeah, and joy.
There you go.
Freedom, growth, and joy.
And you certainly could be doing a lot of different things, and it sounds like you are, but you're pretty well focused on this whole process of visioning, and of course, you're writing a book as we speak. But I'm just curious, why this? Why now?
It was the next logical step. I had achieved being on stage with the guitar. I did what I wanted with it. I found out how much effort and work it is to be a performer, and I wanted to go back to the songwriting. And then from there, I started doing workshops, and it just seemed that writing voice was calling me. So to write this book, it's combining everything I love into one modality,
mm-hmm,
which is book about a workshop. I get to talk about myself. I get to show my artwork. I get to teach how to do the artwork. I get to bring in the poetry and short stories, and then I'll get to promote and sell everything through my website.
A whole different site. So, and your website is Write, which is writeinside.com.
Yes.
Okay.
Writeinside.com.
Writeinside.com. And they can also get in touch with you through that website. You have an email address there, and they can contact you. And if they would like to get more information about visioning and possibly taking a class on learning how to do the go through the process.
Exactly. I teach at the Be Well Center in Atascadero, and I blog every other week on visioning techniques. So you can get to my blogs through the front page of my website, and I have an events calendar as well.
You know, I know blogging came along long before the social networks did. I barely understand the social networks, let alone the blogging. I'm just texting, don't even, I'm not even going there.
I don't text as well. I understand. Yeah, if I'm going to be doing those little buttons, I can't even see those little buttons, much less, you know.
Well, we just upgraded our phone service, my wife and I, and she has a phone that slides out and has the little texting, then the tiny little buttons, and I'm going, you can text me, and then I will call you back. Because I can't text on my phone because it's a standard phone pad, and it would take me a week and a half to say hello. I don't know. For me right now, it's just not my thing. I'm not going to say I'll never do it, because every time I've ever said I'll never, I end up doing it. And so I'm just going to leave that one alone for right now.
Exactly.
And I want to thank you so much for joining us on the program.
Thank you.
It's been a pleasure having you here, Dorothy Sokovia. Write Inside, and that's WRITE, inside.com is her website, and you can find out more about visioning as well as her teacher in this process, and also more information. You can also go to our website. We are linked, as a matter of fact, to her website. Just go to the radio show's page. Once this program is over, not only will we have the archive, but there'll be a link there for Dorothy Sokovia and her website. And join us again next Saturday. We have Thanksgiving coming up on Thursday, and next Saturday we're going to be talking with Laura Berman. She is a musician, and we're going to talk about music for the new paradigms, or, if you will, music for the soul. We hope you'll join us, and she'll be sharing with us in studio some music. She and her husband will be performing live in the studio, so I hope you'll tune in to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. Until next Saturday, 3 p.m. Pacific time, and live on the internet, Please tune in. Love to Lal, and you folks have a great weekend.